Father, we magnify you and praise you. We worship you for the hour that we live in. And we praise you for everything that's been provided for us. The certainty of our call, the born again spirit and the power, the baptism that has come to fill us and empower us. And Father, you've called us on a great, credible mission in these last days. We accept the call. We accept the mission. We're showing up, Lord. We're towing the line and saying yes. Yes, Lord. Now, standing in your presence and in this house and before your throne, we make application of intercession. And Father, we praise you that we stand at the possibilities of one of the greatest miracles in our nation that we've seen in 50 years. The possibility, a real physical possibility of overturning the abortion law that stands over our nation. We know that we're still in a fight. We'll stay sober, understanding that that this thing is not yet. But I pray in the name of Jesus that everything that Satan would try to do to sabotage, that Lord, that even as you have brought this thing up, almost unexpected, but it has been because of the prayers of the saints, we pray those same prayers that you'll send confusion to the enemy's camp. And just like you destroyed the Assyrians 185,000 in one night by your spirit, and just as you destroyed Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir in the fight against Jehoshaphat because he worshiped and the praisers worshiped, you sent ambushments and confusion. We pray that for those evildoers that would stop this thing, we pray they'll come to nothing. That we pray that in Jesus' name that the power of your spirit will rest over the Supreme Court. And that in the name of Jesus, that those who do have the capacity to vote towards righteousness will do that. And that there will be no fear, that there will be no intimidation that will be able to back them down. But Lord, that they will complete this very thing, and that we will see an incredible, incredible miracle that is part of this revival. And we praise you and we give you all the glory. Would you lift your hands and magnify God for the believing that all things are possible? We worship you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 We glorify you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, Jesus. Worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're worshiping you, Father. So there was a little baby that we prayed for a few weeks ago. Right, Carl? It was your friend's co-worker. Yeah. And what was the problem? What was the... Yeah. So come here for a second. Yeah. Oh. Okay. Yeah. That was totally out of... But it looked like death, right? I mean, possible? That was gone. Do you remember that baby just a few weeks ago that we prayed for, Carl's friend? I don't know if any of you were here that service. And Is that a little, you sent me the picture. That's a little girl, right? She's doing really well, isn't she? Yeah. Come here, come here. Come here. Yeah, come here. Yeah. Yeah. This is all for the glory of God, because this is one of these other notable miracles. Tell us the request and then what has just happened in the last few days.
So I was at work and I was talking about Pastor Bronk and just the miracle that took place with my niece. And I knew that there were a lot of unbelievers near me, but also at the same time, I constantly kept running my mouth just about what God has done.
Yes.
And there was this one particular nurse, and I seen that she was listening, and I, of course, kept talking, and she kept getting closer, and she was like, well, you know, I used to go to church, but I'm not going to church, but can your pastor pray for my niece, because right now she's in a similar state. Well, you know, she has a lot of blood running through her brain, and the doctor's saying that she should be dead. So I was like, of course, and talked the captain over here, and he prayed, and she basically was letting me know, like, it was a miracle that took place, and praise she was God. Excited, and I told her she has to come here to the church, just for a praise report. And then also, another one of my coworkers that we prayed for, he's on the CERT team. We prayed for a while ago, maybe about like 4 months ago, and I remember I was at work with him, and I was just saying, hey, your son is going to live. And he's been constantly going back and forth to the hospital, Gainesville.
Yeah.
He's like 26. His name is Gardner. And okay. He's like, man, I'm tired of this. My son is, you know, he can't have a final heart.
Yeah.
So I was like, he's going to live.
Yeah.
Just trusting Jesus. And he's like, well, Ellie, I don't know about this one there, you know, and real country boy. Yeah. And I was like, Gardner, Jesus got it. And got a prayer cloth, prayed over it. And his son is healed. So he's so excited. His son has finally came back home.
Praise you, Jesus.
So I told him
thank
he's going to have
Jesus.
To come and
all the glory to God.
Give a praise
all
report
the glory
well.
To God. So, yeah. All the glory to you, Father. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thanks, buddy. Yeah. Appreciate it. Right. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Dave used to say, some things belong to God and all the glory is one of them. Let's just lift our hands and give God the glory. We worship you. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We worship you. I love you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Freely we have received, freely we give. I'm concerned about the day that they start pouring in here to find out where all this stuff come from. Obviously, it's from him, but I'm talking about the origin. Hallelujah. Somebody wants me to come over to Fort Myers or to Alva, their little child got born again. And then another one that they know, a family member, a cousin, that child got born again, accepted the Lord. Their families are Christians. They go to another church, but they contacted Amber and they said, would your pastor come over here in our pool and baptize our kids? And Amber was like, sure, I'm sure he would. I mean, don't you have a pastor? Yeah, but we, you know, they've watched a little bit of them. We'd kind of like to have your dad do it. It's the funniest thing in the world, all of these other people going to other churches, and when they know where the power's at. They know where the power's at. Hallelujah. So you can go so far on a program, but when you get in trouble, you know where the power's at. Hallelujah. So glory. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Amen. I will give you an opportunity at the end of the service to give. And I'll remind you then, and those that are watching. So praise God. Somebody said, well, why do you give opportunity to a small crowd, and it's the same crowd that comes on Sunday? You know, what's the odds you're going to get anything? Well, a lot of weeks on Wednesday, there's nothing. But I'll tell you this. We have gotten, I promise, some of the biggest offerings ever on a Wednesday night when there was no more than this many people here. Somebody was ready to bless the church. And heaven help that I stand in your way. My God. Somebody told me one time, I just love it when you give us a bunch of opportunities. Hallelujah. I said, amen. Glory be to God. I listened to Homer's message from Wednesday night today. It was incredible. And, you know, he doesn't look to be bragged on, but God really spoke some wonderful things in that message. And I appreciate it. It was really good. Ralph told me when I got home how good it was, and you didn't exaggerate, Ralph. It was really good. Praise God. Mother's Day on Sunday, so glory. We will celebrate Mother's Day. My mom's in heaven. A lot of your moms are in heaven. But we'll honor each of our moms, and hopefully your mom's here, and hopefully your mom's in church with you on Sunday. So do something nice for your mom. Hallelujah. And glory. So all you mothers, young and old, come prepared. I don't want to keep you up Saturday night worrying. Just come prepared in case the Lord asks you to say something. Okay? Glory be to God. Well, I don't know about that. After all this time and praying in the Holy Ghost and reading the Word, you don't have 3 minutes of exhortation to give to the body? Hallelujah. Yes, you do. Hallelujah. Hey, sometimes it's better. You know, I called four up last year, and they did excellent. Hallelujah. Jacoby, you about ready again Sunday? I'm getting everybody nervous now. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we praise God for the possibility of Roe versus Wade being overturned. And that will be an incredible miracle. As you well know, it doesn't seem like urban legend right now. I've researched it. It seems like a distinct possibility. At least a draft was made up. And with it looking like that the Supreme Court would vote in favor of overturning Roe versus Wade. Now, I think most everybody understands that doesn't completely eliminate abortion in the United States. It's still up to state by state. The legislators, those that are the lawmakers, but it gives the citizens a right to vote in who will be their representatives to their state house and senate, and it takes the umbrella, the overall umbrella of abortion off the nation, and it's a major step in the right direction. Of course, as you know, it was they tried to sabotage it with a leak, and all that's for is to cause an uprising in the United States, rioting, looting, intimidation against the Supreme Court, threats to cause them to be intimidated and back off. And also, if they could raise their base, hopefully their loss that is definitely pending for this coming November would be changed, and they're hoping for that, but that's not going to happen. Hallelujah. We love the young lady, whoever they are out there, or whoever comes in here that's had an abortion. If she's had five, we love her. We'll restore her. Candy is on works with a group of ladies that she gets calls at times at the Mockley Pregnancy Center. We've got someone in here right now that's trying to make a decision between life and death. We're asking you to pray. And we had that this week, and we prayed, and then Candy got the text later the next day that the young lady chose life, which was great. So we're involved in saving lives, and we're not condemning. But what bothers me is Christians who take what they would say a sympathetic, I'm not talking about a compassionate view. We're all into compassion. But when you take a less than hard stand against the sin of murder, you've got something wrong with you. Gary Carpenter had a vision. Now it's been about 2 years ago. It was prior to the 20, when did we have our election? 2020, right? So we were fighting for that, believing. I don't get into it because it just is amazing. I try to stay out of it. The Christians that will call politics, when it's not a politic issue. Gary had a vision. He saw out his front window facing the street, as it were, a mother in the street across the street in the yard. Now this did not happen for all those that are watching or listening. He saw in a vision, and I think he was in his living room, but he saw this mother chasing this child around the yard, not teasingly, but physically trying to take a butcher knife and stab the child. And he said that the law showed up and in the vision grabbed this lady that was trying to kill this child. And even after they apprehended her, that she was still trying to kill her child, not somebody else's, her child. And the Lord said, this is what abortion is. It's mothers murdering their children. He said, it's not a political issue. It's a issue of murder. Sometimes those who want to cause problems will say it's a racial issue. Something to do with race. Yeah, I heard Candace Owens last night, a beautiful black young lady. She said, oh yeah, yeah, it's against the blacks, all right. It's hurt us more than anything else. Because we by far, she gave the statistics, by far have aborted our babies. And the woman that actually started Planned Parenthood hated the blacks. It was a proven. She had a plan to genocide eugenics, to destroy the black race. So, hallelujah. 78% of all Planned Parenthoods are in black communities. These are statistics by Candace, and she's very studied young lady. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. And it just amazes me, it come out of seemingly nowhere, but it's been being prayed in for a long, long time. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've got a lot of work to do, and we'll use our time wisely. We want to go over some prophecies tonight, several of them, in fact. Let's go ahead and hand those out. There's approximately five that we've got to go over tonight, and I want you to take notes or write on them. They're yours to keep, and those of you that are watching through the streaming, you can go to our website right now. Most of you are accustomed to doing this. Go to the tray in the upper right-hand corner. Tap that and go to prophecies, and these prophecies will be right there available to you, you'll be able to read along with us, in other words. So there'll be quite a bit of reading, and we'll comment as the Lord allows, but I really felt that we should read these prophecies. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy, I believe it is. Let me look that up again. It's 1 Timothy 4:13. You don't have to turn there. He says, "Until I come, give attendance." He was telling Timothy, as far as instruction, how to conduct church. "Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Amen. So that's what we're doing. We're actually doing readings tonight. And, of course, all of our sound doctrine comes from the Word of God, and all prophecy is built on the Word of God. And I don't believe we'll find anything out of Scripture, contrary, I should say, to Scripture tonight, but everything based on the Word of God. These prophecies, I want to give you the order. Of course, these prophecies that we'll be looking all at, except one, came at the Dayton Conference. Now, I'll be reading the ones that the Lord used me through me. There's a few more that came through Pastor Jim, one or two more. We don't have access to that as far as being able to read that tonight, but there will be on his website, and please, I would say, go there, listen. That's in MP3 format, or read these prophecies. But the first one will be on April the 24th, so search through your handouts and find out that. You can set these in order, April 24th, and then there's actually three on April 26th, I believe, and they'll be A, B, and C. So you'll line that up that way, and then May 1st, which was last Sunday, we'll read as we get to it. So the Lord began to minister that first day that He had me step up in prophecy. But all of everything that was said at the Dayton Conference applies to us. So take notes if you'd like. Write on these things. Remember something that the Lord said in here that's personal and pertinent to you. Do not wait for prayer lines or even that which is of itself scriptural in the laying on of hands. Those things work as I will and as you deliberately do those things. But understand this, that in this atmosphere of worship, all sickness, diseases, infirmities, and pain is subject to your praise and to your worship in me, says the Spirit of grace. I was so glad that Homer had that exuberant praise while we're gone. We started this Sunday with an exhortation on praise and worship. Folks, come in here on that 30 minutes, and let's give it our best. Hallelujah. Because it sets up everything for miracles. It really does. It really does. Unless you're over with Miss Barbara or something, and you know, interceding or something like that, we may go to 45 minutes before long. I'm telling you, so well, what about the people that, you know, the people that are going to do it are going to, or they're going to do it. It's real redundant. And so let's get here, go into worship, go into praise, and get this thing ready before it even starts. Amen. Do not wait for what you would think would be a special call. But as you're watching this service or you're sitting in this service, give yourself over to that place of believing me that all things are possible. Allow your expectation to come to another place and for me to frame your world in a place of understanding that where you're going and where I'm taking my church, that things happen. You'd call it inadvertently. You call it just seemingly on accident or sovereignly, but I say you're deliberately bringing about my presence in a place where I can come all the time on purpose and bring forth healing and virtue to your body, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. You know those miracles that Carl talked about tonight? It wasn't just me. It's you and I together. We're working together as a body. I've got a handkerchief in my pocket. Someone asked me to wear it on my body tonight because they're asking somebody to be sent a handkerchief for healing and miracle. Acts chapter 19. Handkerchiefs were taken from the body of the Apostle Paul. And are you calling yourself an apostle? No, I'm not. I'm saying that by the truth, the anointing as I'm preaching this word, that there is an energizing taking place in this handkerchief. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Those of you who are reading, are reaching out tonight, watching, standing or sitting in this place, now is the time. Receive of my Spirit, says the Lord, even that which is, and I heard him say this, even that which is of a natural healing process, or even that which is aided with medication, which is fine. He wants to speed it up. He wants to put it into overdrive. He wants you to know that he'll come alongside of medicine. He'll come alongside of natural healing because he wants you. He wants you to be in the best place possible to go into revival in this outpouring. The 2022 now, a Revival Now conference, I'm meeting you in a place you've never been before. And I'm bringing you up, as I said this morning, through the ministry of my word to a higher plane, to come into fellowship with me and to know me beyond any place that you've ever known me before, and to know that as a father, it hurts me more to see you in your suffering than it does even you and your family. For you and your family, for a price has been paid, and I'm bringing you up into a place to change your expectation that old things and things that have been around for months and years and even decades are being changed, says the Spirit of the Lord. Emotional battles, yes, amen. Emotional battles, whether they be biological, chemistry, or satanic origins, or just happenstance of life, in everything I'll come. In everything, I'll come. Peace that passes understanding has been your promise beyond having the ability to understand. I'm petitioning you. I'm petitioning you as your high priest and Lord of the church. Begin to lay down reasoning and figuring these things out, but rather to give yourself over to worship and magnify me, that everything comes to a plane and everything is washed. Give this over to me, says the Spirit of the Lord. Let life begin to invigorate you and bring forth that which only I, through the Holy Spirit, can bring forth. Amen. The way that it is advantageous to take a prophecy in war with a prophecy is to take the prophecy, underline the parts that are applicable to you, that where the Lord says that's where you're struggling, and you just form that, you just take that and say, Lord, you said, And I claim this as my promise. You spoke this not just at the Dayton conference, but when one body, you're saying this, and I war with this prophecy. Not every one of these may, I mean, every one of these apply to us, but you're going to get certain ones that are like spot on for you. They're right where you're at. You need to underscore them. You need to take them in the leaf, put them in your Bible, and two or three times a week, pull those out. And for 10 minutes, 5 minutes, Lord, this is what you said. And I say this is where I'm at. I am free. Lord, you work through my, you work with my, hey, Lord, thank you for working with my medication. Thank you that my medication works good. It doesn't work against me. I don't have adverse effects. It works with me, and it works perfectly, and it heals and speeds up the healing of my body. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't he? He works with everything. Kenneth Hagin used to say, boy, or he'd say, God will work with medicine. You know, he was a faith healer. He'll work with medicine to get you healed so you can go on to bigger and better things in God. I want to say thank you to Candy and to Sarah for these prophecies. It's like everything else in the church, and we don't have to start naming names and giving out, you know, what everybody does, but there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. And when you get one of these prophecies, and this happens at probably every church that does it right, someone types it up. Usually Sarah types up all the prophecies. I think this time mostly because Sarah was on the road. Candy did a lot of typing. Then we send it over to our professional editor, and she goes through and makes sure all the punctuation is there correctly for you to read, sends it back to me so I can proof it and make sure, yeah, that's the best place to put that comma based on where, you know, what the Lord was saying. And sometimes there'll be little brackets where there'll be just a little insert that doesn't take away from the message, but helps the reader to understand exactly what the Lord was saying. So once I, you know, say yes, and then it goes back to Sarah, and it goes back to Candy. Candy proofs it again and copies it, posts it on the website. There's hours. It's hours and hours and hours sometimes. You did 5 prophecies in a letter yesterday, right? Candy sent those back and forth. They were working all day. I was like, oh, about 3/4 of the day, I was waiting on my letter, and Sarah said, my eyes are wore out. Can you wait for a little bit longer? And I said, sure, take the, you know, the rest of the evening off for a little bit, right? So thank you for all of these. We appreciate what they do. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is God's will for the end, and let's look at it together. And it is April 26th, and it is the A of these, A, B, and C. For I've kept you concealed up until now. And he said this to Jim and to us and to everyone that's part of this. I've kept you in a place of hiding and hid away from the world. And yes, even from much of the church at large. But I've done this as I prayed out the mysteries and brought you into the fullness of my will as a body here and as a body that joined together for one purpose. I've concealed you that I might bring you out at the proper time. For the time is coming and now is when I will begin to advertise you and bring forth that which I've so fashioned after my will for the purpose of the end. For in the days ahead and not too far in the future, you'll find that these types of meetings will go from a place of what you've been used to a place of more of a harvest, miracle demonstration, not only to this church, but to the world. You'll be in amazement because you'll wonder why it's so simple and why it seems so long that things were shut up and shut back and no one came. Watch, says the Spirit of the Lord, when I begin to knock on doors. Watch when I begin to go forth and advertise what I'm doing in this place and other places. I will of myself begin to speak to hearts and take them places past even the excuses that they have made up until now. And the longings to be in these places and in this church and others like it will become such a great desire to the circumference of the area, not only to the neighborhood, but to places in the city. Others will move to this place and places like it. The Word says that Jesus grew and His fame grew. We're not after our fame, but we know that there will be a time of promotion. There will be a time of promotion. And what I see and hear and what I'm seeing and hearing from all of us is we're going to be astounded. We're going to it's like the field of dreams. You build it, and when it's ready, the cars are going to line up. They're really going to line up. And we're going to be so excited because the Holy Spirit is going, as He said, to knock on doors. You can start knocking on doors yourself, but I'd rather have Him knocking on doors. He can get behind the scenes. You're meeting for a purpose. You're hid away in the womb right now. You're hid away in secret. I've covered you with my hand. It would have done you no good, and no prosperity would have come out of any evangelism program. You would have been praying against, and He's talking about in the natural, you'd been praying against what I'm praying through you in mysteries, because supernaturally I'm about to bring forth as I did with my son. In that same way, He could not be hid, neither will this be hid, neither will your leaders and elders and pastors be hid. This is why it's so important. Listen, this is why it's so important to die and die and die and die and die and die and die. Because there is going to be so many that will be looking at you as elders and we as pastors, and things will change. They will change. And it's of a necessity to be so dead in these last days that we take no glory, and that everything that comes to us just flows from right back to God. It's coming. For many will seek this place, and again your amazement will be, why hasn't it happened like this up until now? But it was all my purpose and in my timing. So rejoice in this hour with great hope and expectation, seeing the vision which is to come. It is possible. It is possible, says the Spirit. Or it is impossible. It is impossible, says the Spirit of grace, for you to have been doing these things over these decades without me doing what I will do in the decades ahead, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Yeah, it's impossible. Glory be to God. Amen. Did you get something out of that? We're headed somewhere. You're not broken. This is the next one. And He'd say this to you, those who are watching. For those who have been fighting panic attacks and anxiety, this is came through ministry time, and the Lord began to prophesy. For many of you that have fought these kinds of things have reasoned within yourself, and the enemy has come and said, you're less than. You didn't understand. And sometimes it was biological. Sometimes it was a direct assault, but nevertheless, because of the accuser of their brethren, you've walked in a weight. Not just the fear of those things, but a weight of less than, a feeling of less than, and not having the same place of sonship or being a daughter in the kingdom because something was wrong with you, that you were broken in some way. But I'm here to tell you as your Father and as the Spirit of truth, you're not broken. You're mine. You're filled even as you believe with strength on the inward man, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The church, the world is filled or is fighting a major battle with fear and anxiety. We are, He in us is the answer. He's the answer. And once you come into this fullness, the battles that will come to stop you as a revivalist will try to set you aside at times when fear comes, and those that have fought such battles as anxiety attacks or fear or just strong uncertainties. Not only is there a spirit that will come. Now, he also identified it can be biological as well. But even that, the enemy will try to push that. He'll try to get behind that and push it. But you've got to know this. You just stand up right in his face and say, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not broken. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. I've got just as much right as Pastor Bronk or Homer or anybody. Jim Martin, Gary Carpenter, it doesn't matter. I am who you say I am. Hallelujah. Don't figure it out. Just keep praying. Just keep praying. Hallelujah. Which paragraph? For the last one? Second one. Henceforth, do not receive in yourself, even when the symptoms come. Do not receive the accusation that these things are coming because something is wrong, innately wrong with you, or that part of your makeup is broken. But I say to you that strength is being measured out to you even now in this service and in times to come, and that is happening to some right now. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. And even those that have heard this, just wash. Every time you hear it, just let it wash over you and fill you and strengthen you. Hallelujah. But I say to you that strength is being measured out to you even now in this service and in times to come. And you'll find a growing strength. For this testimony has come about not just for the one that gave it. And there was a testimony that had just been given. But for all those who will reach out. No, you're not, he says. No, you're not. He's speaking to someone through the camera and even here. No, you're not. You're not getting dementia. You're not getting Alzheimer's. You're not. That's a lie. Those symptoms of memory and recall that are coming against you even now, stand up in faith against these things. Do not entertain them in your bed. Do not entertain them in your shower. Do not entertain them. But speak against them, speaking my word, saying these things. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ until I'm old and taken out of this world. I will continually remember everything, both old and new. Both new, old memory patterns, new memory patterns, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're not broken. Everybody say, I'm not broken. You know, the best way to know that you're not broken is to be broken. It really is. We sent out a letter this morning, today. Some of you may have read it already. But our mission every day is really to be broken. To be broken in that place of intimacy. And out of that emanates such confidence, such peace, such absolute. If you find that place, there won't be anything inside of you or anything that comes against you that'll intimidate you. Hallelujah. Amen. How you doing? Good. So let's go to, you are not less. Does everybody have that one? Okay. This is C on April 26th, and those of you that are following along on the website. Forget not the things that I have said to you from the beginning. You may not be a pastor, a prophet, or evangelist, apostle, or any of the fivefold, but you have a call. You have a specific call that is just as important as anyone that will stand in the pulpit. Hold to these promises. Hold to the blueprint that I have given to you and refurbish these things and go back to them and claim them, read them and quote them and rehearse them before my presence with worship and adoration, saying, "You're the God that cannot lie. You said these things to me 20 years ago, 10 years ago. No prophecy has mold on it, mildew on it in my sight. It's just as if I spoke it 5 minutes ago." Hallelujah. Now let me encourage you. I can't even begin to tell you how important, we just say this all the time, so it hardly bears repeating, but I'll say it, how important reading the Word of God, meditating the Word of God. It's life. It's just an absolute life to our spirit. But another important part is, and this is scriptural, this is just a modern version, Paul said, take the prophecies that went before you, Timothy, and war with those prophecies. I would encourage you to prepare every single one of you in this building, put together a file of some sort that is your personal blueprint. Does everybody hear me? Okay. You know, there's the, when we talk about the blueprint prophecies, those are something that's given to all of us. And that can be part of our blueprint. I understand that. But it's important that you listening and us in here, that you prepare, that you keep everything that was ever given to you as far back as you can remember. If you've kept it, if not, today's the day to start. Today is the day to keep those things in a log, a book, a file, all of the prophecies that the Lord has said to you personally or has ever given to you in this church. And it's always important, if you can, to write those things down and to say, "God, you said this to me at this certain date." So build for yourself that blueprint on a continual basis. Your call now is to be understood. Your call now is to be understood. The message of longevity for your life is for the purpose of this outpouring, says the Spirit of the Lord. So go back and hold dear. Ask me to cause you to remember. You know, as I'm saying that, some of you are looking at me like, "Man, I don't have that, and I don't know if I can remember." Ask me, he says, ask me to cause you to remember, if you've not written these things down, all the prophecies, the things that were said both to you personally from the Spirit of God or someone that you trusted that was hearing from God. Hold to the blueprint of your life, which first comes by my word and by the witness of my Spirit. But individually, I have spoken many things to all of you. These things are to be held in great regard, says the Spirit of the Lord. Lift them up. Lift them up before me and worship me as if they were coming to pass in the next 5 minutes of your life, as if they were immediately transpiring, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. The Lord had me do, and it comes to memory as I'm reading that, and we've got one more prophecy here. I exhorted, or I was teaching, and the Lord brought up longevity. And longevity is important for you to understand, especially for the purpose of revival. Now, I'm not, you know, I think that sometimes because we never hear this, that it's possible to be misunderstood as something that is, well, that's good for you, and it is good for me, and nobody is under pressure. But the Lord would have all of us advance in our belief system concerning how long we can live on this planet. will never, ever, I'm not talking about, there's a false doctrine, some of you are not even familiar with it, it's called the kingdom now, that you're going to live forever, and Pastor Dave used to call them the no-dies, that they didn't believe. I've known some of those people, you know, they're good people, but the problem with no-dies is they keep dying out, you know, they believe they're going to live all the way. You're not going to live forever, okay? You do have, now this I have scriptural, you do have out of Genesis a promise that the Lord says you can live to be 120 years old. And I have not found any place in the Old Testament or the New Testament that negates that promise. Now, I don't want to live to be 120 years old in a rest home and hardly able to, you know, talk or what. I don't want to be a novelty. I don't want somebody to, somebody said, I don't want to live that old. Okay, that's not a problem. And there's no, and that we're not teaching that as some spirituality that like, but please live a long time. And please, you know, gravitate. I was talking to a preacher one time. He's a friend of mine, and he was talking about, you know, he was just believing at one time that, and I think maybe he's changed, but he was just really believing that, and there's nothing wrong with him, that he'd just make 80 years old. And I, to me, now here's where I'm claiming, this is what I'm believing, and this is not something that I just do. You know, this is something that I'm speaking and using the word on along with other confessions. I believe that Candy and I will live to be 120 years old. Okay. When I gave that illustration, I read, why do you want to do that? Because I want to be around a long time to help revival go as far as it possibly can. Maybe he comes when I'm 75. Maybe he comes when I'm 85. Maybe a friend of mine, Gene Gessner, he sent me after I ministered on some of that and said some things about living. He sent me the verses on and reminded me, which was good, about Caleb. You know, Caleb was, when he was 85, he told, you know, we don't have that scripture in front of him, but he told Moses when he was 85, now 85 is a long ways from 120, but this is what he said. He said, I am as strong today as I was the day, he said this to Joshua, as the day that Moses sent us in to the promised land. And he was one of the two spies that went into the promised land with Joshua, and they came back and gave the good report. Well, he was roughly, you know, 40, 45 years old. Well, 40 years later at 85. Now listen, in case you think that these are anomalies, like this was back in the Bible days, these examples are past the slash, the cut. Okay, there was, we're never going to see anybody live 200 years old, 300. That was, but after Noah comes off the ark, there is a slash, we're not teaching on that, but there is a promise. The days of mankind will be, it can go this far. Now, after 120, you're on your own. You're in no man's land. That's that, you don't, you know, the promise, when I was a kid growing up, I remember my grandma on my dad's side, God bless her, she was a Church of God, and she'd say, we got all we got is the promise in of 80. And I heard the old timers talk about that. 80. 60. Yeah, 60, I think it was. 70. A score is 20, and 10 is 70. And Moses was writing. Moses wrote one psalm. Was it 90? Whichever one it was, he said, by reason of strength, they're dying at 60 or whatever. In other words, he wasn't saying that was promise. He was saying they're dying out in the wilderness. Nobody's living, you know, past 70 years old. Well, that wasn't a promise. The only promise that I know of concerning age at this time is the 120. Okay, so somebody said, well, you know, and I read that night about a woman that just had died a few days earlier in Japan at 119 and months. Okay. The only reason why I'm saying this is, listen, raise the bar and raise the bar on your health, on your health. Now, this is not like most of the time we're in a lot of times we're in a deep prophetic mode or teach the word, and this is just some practical teaching right now that I'm speaking. But listen, if you're full of God, absolutely eking, it just revelation just ekes out of you. You know, you just sit down and you don't even try. People just like, wow, my God, that's... But if your body is in horrible shape and it gives out on you, now this is not condemnation. We're not trying to get this church into a Jane Fonda exercise mode. But you don't have to join a gym. But please, take care of your bodies. Okay? We have to take care of our bodies. We need to eat right most of the time. You can splurge sometimes. Say, Pastor, what spiritual... Listen, if you diet, some of you are just now coming into your own. I mean, you're really getting valuable to the kingdom. And then you diet 80 or 75 or something. We needed at least 20 more years out of you. Well, I'm not going to be there. I don't want 120. Okay, shoot for the stars. Hit the moon and stop thinking at 60 or 70 or 80 you're old. Just think you're fixing to kick it into overdrive. Right now I'm 62. I've lived just a little bit more than half of my life. That's so cute, Pastor. I want to hug your neck. That's so wonderful. I believe it. And until somebody shows me scripture that says I can't believe it, I will continue. I'm not going to boast about it and go everywhere. I'm just teaching you on how important it is. You can be a Ferrari on the inside with all kinds of, with revelation knowledge. But if your body pulls over on the side of the road and says, I got to shut down. I cannot go on any further. I've got too many. That's where the revelation stops right there. I mean, you know, unless you can revive. And that's what, you know, all of us can do that. But what I'm saying is, again, we'll never be a Jane Fonda, this is all about our outward body. It's the inward body. But at the same time, we have promises. And let's take care of our bodies. Amen. Why? Because they're important, because of the inward man that we carry and the revelation that we carry. Okay, some have asked the question, can I worship the Lord quietly? Oh, no, I'm going to the last paragraph on this last one. We are the last prophecy, right? Okay, let's start the first verse. The first paragraph. You must choose to worship me. It's the lack of understanding in my body concerning praise and worship that keeps people from being obedient unto me, says the Lord. My command for you to worship me and the Father's desire for those to worship him in spirit and in truth comes from the place of your determination to live wholly out of a spirit that is created in righteousness and true holiness, says the Spirit of grace. I did not ask you to feel like praising me. I did not ask you to do it if all of your thoughts were concentrated solely at one moment before you began. Why do you suppose that the word describes it as the sacrifice of praise? For many look at others who are engaged in worship and say, they're spiritual and they're able to set themselves apart at the moment. But understand this, that the greatest worshipers are those who are oftentimes engaged in a battle of their mind and their emotions. But they choose for that moment in time to set all things aside and put all things under their feet, to devote themselves solely unto praise and unto worship. And until you begin to walk in such obedience, you will never begin to cross the line to where that you worship and your worship and your praise comes to a place of maturity and advances. Hallelujah. It's good stuff. Some have asked the question, can I worship the Lord quietly and still have the same effect? At times, yes. But there must come forth out of your mouth at times when I'm asking you a volume of your voice by which you yourself can hear your own praises going up before me. Know this, that I said in my word, it is out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, out of the mouth of worshipers that I will still, that means to put to quietness, still the voice of the enemy. The enemy is being allowed to speak louder than your worship. Your worship ought to speak louder than the enemy, says the Spirit of grace. Do not wait for a season in which you feel the presence of exuberance and the exuberance to worship. Choose this day and every day to worship me and to praise me, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, ain't God good? Hallelujah. Excuse the English. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. We did our business, which was go over the prophecies. And I think that was what he wanted us to do tonight. Take them home, read them as the Lord directs you, fight with them. Those of you that have something to give tonight, as we're closing, if you want to slip up here and put it in, God bless you. Those of you that are giving online, we really appreciate it. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. It's 8:30. That's amazing. Homer, last week, he preached a good long message, and I noticed he said, what time is it? And they said it was 8:35 or something. I said, oh, God, that's not Homer. I can't believe that. But he must have started early or something. Yeah. You got him good then that Sunday. Hallelujah. You're giving him a little break. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Miracles take place. Amen. So, Father, we bless this body. We bless the offering. We bless all the giving. We thank you for everything that we've received tonight in prophecy in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Amen.